Father, we do thank you that that if we do want to know you, if we do want to hear you, if we do want to meet with you, we can do that through Scripture. I thank you that it is as we draw near to your word that we draw near to you and hear you speak, and we pray that tonight we will do that. That as a result of turning to your word, of meditating on your word, each of us will be able to say that we know you more. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do please sit down. Years ago now, when I was still at school, I did an expedition in the Lake District as part of the Duke of Edinburgh award scheme. On the day that the five of us set out, it had already been raining for 24 hours. You know, that sort of serious rain that the Lake District specialises in. You can get some idea of how bad the rain had been when I tell you that actually we found it easier to walk along the riverbed, despite the fact that the water was up to about here, rather than walk on the mud that was the path beside the river. It was horrendous. It rained for the whole of our first day walking. It was still raining when we reached the place where we were going to camp that night, and we put up our three small tents. By about 10 o'clock that night, two of the three tents had collapsed. And the five of us were crammed into the remaining two-man tent. It was dire. We needed help. But of course, this was long before anybody had even imagined the possibility of a mobile phone. So I ended up going back down the track that we'd come up, because about half a mile earlier, before we got to the place where we were camping, we passed a house, and I volunteered to go down to the house to see if we could phone our leaders. It was pitch black. Except for the occasional flashes of lightning, which didn't really help very much, because when the lightning flashed, you could see how steep the drop was down that side. The path was narrow, the path was difficult to follow, and I was terrified. I eventually got to the house. The man who lived there phoned our leaders, who came out to help us. But believe me, that was not an experience I would ever want to repeat. But the strange thing is that the next morning, when the rain had stopped and the sun had come out, we made our way along the same path, and it was really nice. But having to walk that path in the dark, that was a very different experience. And I think that sometimes in our Christian lives, that's something that happens. We kind of feel that we're walking in the dark. Last Sunday we started this short series. I'm not sure whether two consecutive services can actually be classed as a series. But anyway, we started this series Moving On. Our vision is to be a church that's making disciples, growing disciples, being disciples. And that last goal, the goal of being disciples, always involves us moving on. As followers of the Lord Jesus, the whole concept of discipleship just is not static. It's got movement involved in it. Last week we thought about moving on in terms of walking on the water. That time when we step out into something new, something that maybe is quite scary. But tonight we're going to think about walking in the dark. So let's turn to an account of a time when Jesus' first disciples were doing just that. And Sheila's going to come and read for us.
The reading can be found on page 1071 of the Pew Bibles. John chapter 6, verses 60 to 69. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him." He went on to say, This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. From this time, many of the disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. This is the word of the Lord.
I actually think that John chapter 6, verse 66 is it's one of the most serious and one of the most tragic verses in the Bible. From this time on, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. But before we come back to this passage and why that's happening, there are some key points in John's Gospel where he tells us that things happened at night. And for John, that's never just a kind of bit of throwaway information. When John talks about things happening at night, he's flagging up the way that the people involved were in the dark. They were walking in the dark. At first, there was Nicodemus. In John, at the beginning of John 3, we read, now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the ruling council. He came to Jesus at night. And if you know the story, you'll know that Nicodemus was very much in the dark about who Jesus was. And sometimes as disciples, we find that we are walking in the dark because we don't really know who Jesus is. You can become a Christian, you can trust Jesus for your salvation and accept him as your Lord, but then never really spend time knowing more about him. It's interesting that in the first two or three centuries of the history of the church, most of the big controversies were all about who is Jesus. Because they were desperate to get this right, to understand the truth about Jesus. But Nicodemus, the issue here was, how could he be born again? That didn't make sense to him. For us, it might not be that. It might be why Jesus allows bad stuff to happen to us. After all, the one thing we know is that Jesus loves us. So why would he allow us to suffer? And I think that problem does come because often Christians haven't really thought about what it means for Jesus to love them. We assume that we know what it means, and when we find our understanding is wrong, we kind of find ourselves walking in the dark. And it's tempting to be like the disciples in our reading. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. But actually, I think that sometimes God has to lead us to walk in the dark because it's the only way of making us realize that we need more of the light of Jesus' truth in our lives. Another time John mentions night in that way is with Judas. In the upper room, Jesus had washed his disciples' feet. He had already told them that he was going to die. And then in John 13:30, as soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. Although none of the gospel writers major on Judas, except to tell us that he betrayed Jesus, it seems most likely that Judas' problem was that he was in the dark about what Jesus had come to do. And so he had wrong expectations of Jesus. There'd been so much expectation that when the Messiah came, he would lead the Jews to freedom from the Romans. Expectation which the disciples seem to have shared. So when Jesus likens himself to the Passover lamb, who would die, just didn't fit their expectations at all. And again, sometimes we find ourselves walking in the dark because we have wrong expectations of Jesus. And I've seen it happen when someone was convinced that the family member would be healed, and when they weren't healed and in fact died, it was devastating for their faith. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. And sometimes God needs to lead us to walk in the dark because we need to be stripped of our false expectations, especially the expectation that Jesus is there to do what I want him to do. One other time when something happened at night. It was just after the resurrection, John 21. You might know the story. The disciples had seen Jesus crucified, then they'd seen him alive again, but it was all a bit mysterious. Jesus could suddenly appear in a locked room and then not be there. Jesus had sent word to his disciples to meet him in Galilee. So they'd made their way back to Galilee, and when they got there, no Jesus. And once again, they were very definitely walking in the dark. And so Peter decided to go back to his fishing. And John tells us that night they caught nothing. This wasn't so much a problem with their understanding of who Jesus was or having false expectations of him. The problem was Jesus wasn't there. They couldn't see Jesus. They didn't know where he was. He seemed to have abandoned them. And it was just too much for them. And we might find ourselves walking in the dark because God seems so far away. You know, when you pray and it feels as though your prayers are just bouncing back off the ceiling. Nothing you're doing seems to be working. You just feel frustrated. There seems to be no reassurance and no encouragement. And you're tempted to think, is this real or not? It's the experience that John of the Cross called the dark night of the soul. And it's a hard place to be. And sometimes God allows us to walk in the dark because it will show us just how much we actually do love him. Because when you're walking in the dark, when you've got no awareness of the Lord's presence with you, it does challenge you. Do I love the Lord, or do I love the nice feeling knowing him gives me? If the feeling's gone and all seems sterile, and I'm walking in the dark, how am I going to respond? Let's finally go back to our reading. Because although this isn't sort of explained as walking in the dark, it's kind of the same sort of thing that we see. Just before this, the crowd had seen Jesus feed the whole crowd with 5,000 with just a small picnic. And as we saw last week, the result was, as John tells us, after the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. And yet now, only the next day, many were deserting him. And you find a hint why in verse 60. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? There was obviously a big crowd who'd been following Jesus. In that sense, they were all disciples. Down in verse 67, Jesus speaks to the 12, the ones we normally think of as the disciples, but here it's that wider group who've been following Jesus around, listening to his teaching, and now they're just grumbling. They're talking about what Jesus had just said before this, where Jesus said, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And if you try to put yourself in their position, it is a very, very difficult thing to get your head around. But when these disciples said it was a hard teaching, they didn't just mean that it was hard to understand or difficult to understand. It was offensive to them. Hard to accept. Verse 61, aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? And yes, it did offend them. For anyone, the idea of eating someone's flesh is pretty startling. For the Jews, for whom even eating meat with blood in it was taboo, the thought of drinking blood was utterly offensive. It's a bit like the situation with Nicodemus. Jesus was saying things that they just didn't understand. In fact, worse than that, what he was saying seemed utterly wrong. So what did they do when it happened? Well, for a lot of them, they gave up. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. If Jesus was going to shake their worldview so thoroughly, if he was going to say things like that, they'd rather settle for something they could understand. I think that sometimes we end up walking in the dark because Jesus no longer seems to make sense to us. It could be that we find something in the Bible which we really struggle to accept. I actually think that's the big problem with the debate in the church over sexuality. The Bible seems pretty clear that sex only belongs within heterosexual marriage, but it can be hard seeing why God should say that. It doesn't make any sense according to contemporary worldview. And that can just leave people walking in the dark. And so many do abandon following Jesus. So we might find ourselves walking in the dark because we can't make sense of what God is saying or doing. And that's just very, very disorientating. So what do you do when you find yourself walking in the dark? Well, many of the disciples here, as we heard, turned back and no longer followed him. And let's be honest, sometimes it is tempting to give up. It's tempting, but ultimately it is futile. When Peter and the others went back to their fishing, they caught nothing. I suspect that the more common response is not to give up, not to go away, but to just end up going through the motions. You know, notionally, you are still a disciple, but in practice, you hardly ever pray, and when you do, you don't expect anything to happen. You turn up for stuff at church, but there's no life, no passion. But ultimately, that is also futile. Because as Paul puts it in 2 Timothy 3, you end up having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And where's the point of that? So what's the alternative? You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. When I was out in the Lake District, walking that path at night, it was a horrible experience. But I knew that there was a path there. And I knew that at the end of the path, there was a house. And if I had left that path, I'd have had no hope. And that's just how it is with Jesus. Sometimes you might find yourself walking in the dark, but even then, it is true that Jesus and only Jesus has the words of eternal life. Without him, there is nothing. There are some practical things you can do as well. Because when you're walking in the dark, there will be others around you who aren't. And you can ask them to pray for you. Of course, that means admitting how you feel, but actually that's okay, because they'll have felt like that sometime as well. That was where our other disciples in our reading got it so wrong, I think. They no longer followed Jesus. They drifted away, which meant that most likely they were separated from one another, and they had no one to help them, but you don't need to do that. If you find it hard to pray, well, God's given us the Psalms. Athanasius said, most of the scriptures speak to us, but the Psalms speak for us. They give us words we can use when we can't find any of our own. Isaiah 50 verse 10 says, who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? Let the one who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on their God. And sometimes we do walk in the dark. I think it, at some stage, is the experience of every Christian who is committed to discipleship. But when that happens, the very, very worst thing to do is to give up, to no longer follow. Because it is as true today as it was then. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.